As we come to our prayer time, there'll be a chance for you to lift up your own needs. We've been telling everybody that all the hikers are back. Actually, all the hikers are not back. The ones who didn't fly out of Nashville are still in transit because of flight delays. So I know you'll join me in praying for their safe return. I know they're tired and ready to be home. Let's now begin our prayer time together. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here today, for everything in our life that has brought us to this point, all the hurts and joys and preparations, the ways you shaped us and prepared us for this day, for our lives, we thank you. Today we can thank you. For all that is ahead, give us the patience and trust that you are in that as well, preparing, guiding, comforting, present in every moment of our lives. We do pray for those who are traveling. We pray for our teachers and students preparing for school. We pray especially for those who will be going off to college for the first time and for those parents and all those anxious about that. So many things can happen when our kids are away from home, and we pray that you go with them and that you guide them and correct them and remind them of who they are, that they may live up to that in you. For those who are grieving and sick and frightened by medical tests, we pray for those looking for work, for those who find their work tiresome. We pray for those who are hungry, for those who are hot. We pray for those who are lonely. Hear now the names and needs of those that we love. Lord, we thank you for this moment of quiet rest, so we can sit as in your lap, telling you our cares, feeling safe and comforted. Give us your peace, we pray, as we pray together the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today we're continuing our sermon series from Luke, Living in Our Right Mind with Jesus. Our reading today is from Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 18. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, do give us a right view of you and of ourselves and of others. Amen. In a small village in Africa, a young man, Watubi, decided it was time to take a bride. The custom in that village was to pay a dowry to the bride's parents, and the dowry was always paid in cows. If a woman was of average ability and appearance, the dowry might be 2 or 3 cows. If she was a little less than average, well, fewer cows. And if one particular woman was extremely beautiful and talented, a groom might pay as much as 4 cows for his hand in marriage. Now, I don't want to start any fights, but how many cows did you pay for your wife? Well, as you might expect, the number of cows paid became a bragging point for the married women. And as the story goes, Watubi found a young lady that caught his fancy, and yet, in all honesty, she was rather plain and ordinary. So, as was the custom, Watubi went to the father and offered him 7 cows for his daughter's hand in marriage. 7 cows. That was unheard of. No one had ever paid that much for a wife. And everyone knew she was sort of just a 2 or 3 cow wife. Well, the wedding day was set. Everybody in the town was there. The father put on a grand show, but nobody noticed anything except talking about the crazy act of Watubi paying 7 cows for a very ordinary and plain wife. Years later, a traveler came to town, and he too had heard this crazy story about Watubi and his 7-cow wife, how this man had paid so much for such a regular woman. And the village had mocked Watubi so much that he and his wife had moved away. Well, the traveler wanted to see if the story was true, wanted to see if Watubi, how it had played out. So he asked around until he found out where Watubi and his wife had moved. The traveler goes there. He knocks on the door. He introduced himself. And the man notices the beautiful, fine grounds and a very attractive home. Watubi is gracious. He invites the man in. The home is lovely. The decor is lovely. He meets 4 children who are well-groomed and polite and couldn't believe how well-behaved they were. And once inside, the traveler got a glimpse in the kitchen of Watubi's wife. She was beautiful, stunningly so. The traveler was just stunned by her poise, by her peace, by her calm and happiness. He assumed that Watubi had remarried. Well, Watubi had invited this man to stay for supper. After supper, they retired to the porch and began talking. The traveler praised Watubi on his beautiful home, his well-behaved children, and on that awesome hunk of wife that he had. And he said, "So whatever happened to that 7-cow wife of yours?" And Watubi smiled and said, "This is the same woman." The traveler didn't believe it. He said, "I've heard clearly that your wife was very ordinary and plain. How can this be the same woman?" And the wise Watubi smiled and said that when his wife realized that he had paid 7 cows for her, she grew to become a 7-cow wife. She had risen to the price. She lived up to her worth. What we hear about ourselves changes the way we see ourselves. Well, this week's scripture passage is one of those times when Jesus is making his one-on-one time with God a priority. The text says that Jesus was praying in private. He was spending time like Mary did last week, finding a balance in his life between work and rest, between serving and sitting. Luke, more than any other gospel writer, highlights the prayer life of Jesus. At Jesus' baptism, when the Holy Spirit descends upon him and when we hear God's voice say, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased," at that point, Jesus was praying. And Luke tells us that it was after a night of prayer that Jesus picked his disciples. So when we read today in Luke that Jesus was praying, not only do we notice that he was making prayer a priority, but it should alert us that something big is about to happen, just like it had before. Twice before in Luke's gospel, people had already asked who Jesus is, but no one recorded an answer. When Jesus calmed the storm, the disciple says, "Who is this then, that even the winds and the waves obey him?" When Herod heard the people say that Jesus was probably John the Baptist come back from the dead, Herod said, "I beheaded John, so who is this that does such great things?" Twice people have asked who Jesus is, and this third time, when Jesus himself asks, we're finally going to hear an answer. The crowds believe Jesus is a forerunner of the Messiah, and they have this expectation because of a verse in Malachi that says, "I will send my prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord." The crowd saw what Jesus was doing and understood that it was the same sort of work that the prophets of old said this Elijah character would do. He announced good news to the poor. He challenged the rich, gave sight to the blind, healed lepers, even raised the dead. But Jesus is more than just a prophet. And in this text today, Jesus' disciples are finally beginning to realize it. Jesus is God's Messiah, the promised one. The one long expected is now here among us. It's as if Peter said, "You are the one God promised for generations, and now you're here. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Now, hearing this confession from Peter didn't change Jesus. Jesus isn't going to grow into this seven-cow bride because of Peter's words. But Peter and the disciples are changing as they better understand who Jesus is. One of the first Bible studies that ever really captured my attention was not one that our class was studying. It was one another class was doing, and it was a little book in a series of books that came in a box, and it was titled, "Who Do You Say That I Am?" It was a study of the book of Matthew, and the premise was that the entire book of Matthew was written to get us to answer that one question from Jesus, "Who do you say that I am?" Well, today I think most of the Bible is written to get us to answer that same question. Read the book of Genesis. And who now do you say that God is? Read John. And who do you say that Jesus is? In this weird economy of God, how we see God changes how we see ourselves. Young children usually see God as this great, soft grandfather in the sky, flowing white hair and beard and robes, the kind of man whose lap is safe to crawl up into. Our prayers reflect this understanding of God, a safe place to go for protection. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Later, we come to think of God as this great judge who sees everything and who knows everything we've ever done and ever will do. If asked, we might say that God is a king or a judge or ruler or maybe even a punisher, someone who metes out justice to all who need it. And our prayers reflect that. Lord, if you will just get me out of this, I promise I will never do it again. And while that image of God as a judge is true, it's incomplete. And it leaves us feeling nervous and anxious. We're afraid of that God, and we isolate ourselves from others as we try to hide our own shame and sin and failures. We doubt our salvation. We pray over and over for God to save us, but we're never really sure He has. Who do you say that I am? Is a question that I think Jesus asks us every day. Because every day we have a chance to know God better. Every day we can learn something more about God. Things like God forgives, heals, accepts, seeks, loves. God is more than a benevolent grandfather. He's more than a stern judge, more even than just a friend. God in Jesus is Messiah, the Savior of the world, the lover of our souls, the one who came that we might know God better, the one who came that we might better know who we are. And as we gain this better view of God, we ourselves are changed. As we understand more of God's great love for us, we become more and more like that seven-cow bride, able to grow into our full potential and stature as one loved and valued by God. It's a struggle for us to gain this God view of ourselves because every day we're told something different. Infants discover who they are by looking at their caregivers, almost like a mirror. If mom or dad or whoever the caregivers are come when called, the infant learns that he or she is safe and secure. Being fed when they're hungry, being changed when they're wet, being comforted when they're lonely or afraid, all of these teach an infant that the world is a safe place and they are valued and cherished. All children understand who they are by how they're treated. Children who are bullied bully others. Children who are shunned sometimes feel inferior the rest of their lives. We know what it's like to be told who we are and who we aren't. From childhood, many of us became known as the pretty one or the bookworm, the musical one, the athlete. Some children hear they were a mistake, a surprise, too much trouble, unwanted. Some are called popular, strong, funny, smart. Were you known as an A student or a C student or a dropout? Were you top of the class and a starter, or maybe you didn't make the cut? Were you scholarship material or not? Did you become a colonel or remain a private? Were you labeled maybe as tenured or unemployable? You know, we carry scars, and some of them have names, like divorced, abandoned, addicted, obese, anorexic. There's a book by Max Lucado called You Are Special, and in it, these people called Wemmicks are given good gold stars and bad black dots. We stick labels all over each other all the time, and sometimes they stay with us for decades. You can see it in the story of this one troubled man. He was shunned by his mother. He dropped out of high school, was kicked out of the Marines. He was ridiculed by his wife. A broken man, labeled an unloved failure all of his life. So who was surprised when he took a rifle to a bookstore building? And just after noon on November 22, 1963, assassinated President John F. Kennedy. Lee Harvey Oswald, the rejected, unlovable failure, killed this man who, maybe more than anyone else living at the time, embodied all of the success and beauty and wealth and family affection that Oswald had craved all of his life. Lee Harvey Oswald became just the man he was told he would. And look what was lost. Not just Kennedy, but Oswald too. But what if Lee Harvey Oswald or you or me spent more time looking at Jesus than we did looking at the labels that people have put on us? What if we learned more and more of God's mercy and grace and forgiveness? What if we allowed ourselves to just bask in God's love, soaking in it like a long, hot bath, letting God's words of love and healing wash over us and wash us and seep deep into our pores? What if, instead of letting other wounded people tell us who we are, we let the one who made us tell us who we are? Jesus, who do you say that I am? A child of God? A friend of Jesus? Accepted, forgiven, a new creation? Loved by God? Chosen by God? Belonging to God, with a purpose and a hope and a future, never alone. What if we listened to God and asked God who we are, and we heard Him say that I am working through you. I will help you forgive. I, who made you, will help you be the kind and compassionate person I made you to be. What if we let God tell us who we are and listened to what God says? How would we be different? How would we change? I believe that each one of us would grow into these beautiful seven cow wives. I think we would become gracious and poised, generous and kind. I think we would come to look very much like Jesus. Lord Jesus, you tell us who we are. You tell us how much you paid for us. You tell us again and again until we believe it and until we grow into our full stature with you. Amen. Would you please stand? God has told you who you are. And God has told you what you're worth. I pray this week that you go and live a little higher than you did last week. Go in the name of the God we love as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.